Back here on ESPN Central Texas, we're now joined by Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com. Bears win their opener against SFA last Saturday at McLane Stadium, 56-17. And Colt, a lot to unpack from the debut. It went about as well as could have been expected. I mean, other than a second quarter where it became a one-score game there for a little while, it was pretty much all Baylor in this ball game. But before we dive further into individual performances and things like that, just your overall thoughts on the debut itself and how the team looked in general, given your expectations going in.
Yeah, I mean, you go into those games, you know, not having any set expectations, or I don't at least, because you expect, I guess you do expect that it'll be a dominating performance, but how the team goes about having that dominating performance is what you're looking at, because you expect if and when they need to turn on the scheme on both sides of the ball and really attack the opponent like SFA. But what I wanted to see is just how mundane and how basic could they be in what they're doing and still get a dominant performance. And for the most part, they were pretty mundane and pretty basic on both sides of the ball. They rarely stretched the field vertically. The one time they did, Charlie Brewer missed a wide open Denzel Mims. A lot of screens on third downs and longs. They rarely, when they needed to, one of the times it stands out is when they found Denzel Mims for about a 10-yard gain on a third and six, but they rarely did anything but screen passes in key moments on third and long. And then defensively, you saw the first couple of possessions, the defense being really aggressive as far as shooting gaps and making plays. And really after that, they settled in and just kind of played read and react defense. But they continually stopped SFA and moved the ball on offense. And even when the second and third string came in, they were still able to be pretty effective. So overall, I think it's a pretty good takeaway to know that Baylor just did minimal effort or minimal preparation as far as really getting into their schemes, but also had a very effective day on both sides of the ball.
Well, sticking with the defensive side of it, how encouraging was it just to see that there wasn't any of the big plays given up?
I mean, huge. And, last year, I think there was ways to kind of justify those things. And you talk about new guys playing new positions when they played ACU and not really, completely dismiss them, but you didn't expect to be perfect. So you go into a game like this and you say they could still happen, but what's going to happen? And what happened was Baylor, there was a couple of, quote, explosive plays that I wouldn't really consider explosive plays where SFA got chunk yards. And, that's a complete 180 from a season opener a year ago. So how that translates to the rest of the season as Baylor faces some bigger opponents, bigger and faster and stronger opponents and more high octane offenses, we will see. But if yesterday was any indication, like we believe last year was an indication after we, in retrospect of that season, I think they're off to a pretty good start.
What did you think of Gary Bohannon, the extended look we got of him on Saturday?
I mean, there's a lot of scripted plays that go into getting him on the field. That once they got through those, quote, scripted plays, I felt like he settled in really well. And if you've asked me about it before, my expectations for Gary was that the offense will look different with him. He doesn't have the same type of skill set as Charlie Brewer. He's not going to have that ability to be elite with his accuracy. But he will be able to run the football. He'll run a lot of draws. And I don't want to compare him to Sam Ehlinger, but they can use Sam Ehlinger at Texas in a way that he can take some hits. And Gary Bohannon is going to be that same way. He's going to take hits that Charlie doesn't need to take because he's built a little bit different. And he's also a plus athlete, and we saw it. I mean, I know it was SFA, but you saw his ability to pull the ball down and scramble. And if he gets out in the open field, he's really electric. And there's a reason that Matt Rhule said, hey, we want to use him in this offense however we can, not just a quarterback, because he's too good of an athlete to play there, or to not be on the field playing in another position if Charlie Brewer is the number one quarterback. So you don't want to get him hurt, but there's ways to get him on the field. And then I don't want to say it surprised me, but going 5 of 6, I think he had one pass that might have been picked off or probably should have been picked off, but Charlie Brewer had one of those as well, and it just – for a guy that got his first extended time, I was pretty impressed. And we'll see how he continues to go if he has more opportunities this year.
Yeah, they both should have had a pick. Charlie got really, really lucky. Colt, there was a lot of performances that were of note. Treston Ebner, obviously, with the three touchdowns and the highlight reel run, the cutback. R.J. Sneed's two touchdown catches, guys on defense, etc. Who stood out to you as far as a player or two that you took note of and was encouraging to you? But perhaps it was one of those two guys that I just mentioned.
Yeah, the guy I'll go with is a defensive player, and that's Chris Miller. I didn't know if it was going to be Grayland or Henry or Chris Miller, but, man, Chris was just all over the field. And he caught so much heat last year from taking bad angles, he's played 100 miles an hour at all times, but, he might have a play where he's like, what in the world was he doing? And then he turned around and make a really good play. And Saturday, he didn't have any of those what in the world was he doing play. And again, I realize the competition level, but so many times the things with Chris just seemed mental that it didn't really matter who the opponent was, right? So if it was Oklahoma or if it was ACU or SFA or whoever it was, it never came down to ability. It was just a matter of thinking through what was going on and making the correct football play. And he made those plays, and I think he's going to be one of those guys that benefits the most from this defense. I think he has a little bit more freedom just to go and make plays. And, man, he is a guy – I mean, he reminds me of so much of Maude Dixon, the way he just is – he doesn't really care about, how his body feels after the game, apparently, because he's laying the wood constantly. And I'm anxious to see as he gets deeper into the season and he's able to take the reins off just a little bit more.
How concerned are you with the fact that the offensive line wasn't playing up to where the expectations were?
Yeah, I mean, you have two guys, and this has been a hot topic on our board. What's going on with the offensive line as far as not getting pushed and et cetera. And, I think that has a lot to do with two guys on the right side of the offensive line who have not played any Division I football. I mean, Blake Bettier is in his third year of football, period. Prince Fiennes hasn't played a game of football in over 2 years. And if you go back and watch, we have a poster on our board who – I guess quote remains anonymous, but he gets content contributions to our site, and he goes by Football Bob, and he broke it down and just basically said, you look at that right side of the line, and there was just a lot of inexperience, a lot of things they're going to be able to take and learn from, and they have plenty of ability, but if it's getting overextended and getting off balance or just not understanding, what's going on that right side of the line, whereas the left side of the line did things really well as an experienced group would. So I think it's just a matter of time of not necessarily being physical, being bigger and stronger, faster as the staff likes to talk about, but just having experience. And, you don't know exactly what's going to happen with Xavier Newman and John Carlo Valentin. I know they would like to redshirt them. But I think it really depends on how those two guys progress over these next two games as they get into Big 12 play. Because, I mean, very easily we can see by the Iowa State game that Sam Tecklenburg's back at right guard, Xavier Newman's at left guard, and John Carlo Valentin's on the right tackle position, and it's a completely different ball game. And you have a lot of experience and guys that are capable of playing that we saw last year in a bowl game and late in the season that really got that offense going.
Stay on that redshirt topic. What did you make of Rule's comments? They're maybe trying to look at saving those guys and just get them in four games or so they can have that extra year of eligibility.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I love the idea. I think that if you have a guy like Prince Fiennes that just has rapidly ascended to the top of depth charts, which going into the SFA game he had, this wasn't a situation where they said, well, we're going to try to redshirt Xavier, so Prince Fiennes needs to be ready. It was, he is ready, so now we're going to try to redshirt Xavier Newman. Same with John Carlo. It's just these guys were ready to play, so now they're in a position where they can be really – especially with these three out-of-conference games. If they're playing Duke in Game 3, it might look a little bit different this year, but three non-conference games that they should win with no matter who's playing on the offensive line among their top 15 guys. So if they can, I think the future of the program would benefit greatly from it. I mean, you get a John Carlo Valentin back for a third year next year when you're talking about you're losing Sam Tecklenburg and Jake Frumorgan and – it would be John Carlo Valentin, but now he would be back, and then you add in Blake Bettier as a senior and Xavier Newman as a junior, and a potential junior college offensive lineman, in Mose Jeffrey, And you just have you just really one up your offensive line's depth chart for next year, for the future. But as Matt Rhule said, you don't want to sacrifice this year for next year or for the future if it means that you're not going to be as good. But if they have the ability to be as good without them, I think it's a no-brainer that you have to do it.
Cole Barber, Sikkim365.com, here with us on ESPN Central Texas. Colt, this second game of the year is taking on a much different look in the last few days with what Frank Harris was able to do at quarterback for the Roadrunners last weekend against Incarnate Word. Now, obviously, the competition level wasn't the greatest, but neither was who Baylor was playing against, and we're talking about how guys, you know, performed really well. So Frank Harris, a big threat in front of them. They know it, the way Matt Rhule's been talking about him this week. But what are your expectations for UTSA and the third time we've seen them now in the last 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think Baylor fans, anyone that's kept up in depth with UTSA knows they're going to be physical on defense, just really muddy up the waters in general for Baylor's offense. And it's going to be an opportunity, even though they lost a lot on defense, it's going to allow Baylor to really be tested in a way schematically now that Frank Wilson has been there for a handful of years or a little bit less than a handful of years to really just kind of figure out and get their footing after they played SFA. I don't, you know, obviously, all respect to SFA, but UTSA is a step up defensively especially. And then on offense, I mean, Frank Harris is a guy out of high school, who was a senior in 2017, or signed in 2017, was at UTSA that fall, did not play because of his injury. And then in 2018, he also did not play in 2018 as he continued to recover. Now he's a sophomore, which I guess he would get a year back for missing time last year. But, man, he's good. I mean, there's no denying it. There was out of high school, Baylor had offered him basically as an athlete. I'm sure he would have had the opportunity to play quarterback, but – man, he is just one of those guys that rushed for, I think, 2,500 yards as a junior in high school, was injured his senior year, or would have just broke a lot of Texas high school football records. So, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself and say this is on upset alert. I don't feel that way, but I think there's an opportunity for Baylor to really get a look at a quarterback that's going to remind them of a lot of quarterbacks in this Big 12 conference. And just the way that they will probably play and spread the field and allow the quarterback to run.
Hey, Colt, good stuff as always, man. I know there's a lot of stuff going on over on Sikkim365.com. You can check Colt out at Colt_Barber. And, of course, Sikkim365.com as well. Anything before we let you go, man?
And I don't really think so. I'm excited about seeing this game this week and see how these teams progress.